Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and their Maseches Bamitzia, Daf Kuf Alf. The eighth parak has Shoal Sapara. The eighth parak has been generously sponsored by Nishmas, Rav Yaakov Moshe ben Rabin Yamin Yosef Al Hashalom. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught that if olive trees were swept by a river into someone else's field and produced olives there, the olives are divided between the tree's owner and the field's owner. Ravin quoted Reish Lakish saying that they're only divided if the trees were uprooted with their clods of soil, thus maintaining their status as having passed the oral prohibition period and only during the first 3 years. After the first 3 years, however, Hakol Bahakarka, all the olives belong to the landowner because he can tell the owner of the trees if I had planted my own trees 3 years earlier. Would I not be eating all the produce after 3 years when the oral prohibition passes? The Gemara asks that the tree's owner could argue that if he had planted trees earlier, he would have nothing during the oral period of the first 3 years. Since he enjoyed half the produce then, he should continue to divide it now. It answers that the landowner can respond that if he had planted young trees, he could have planted and eaten vegetables during the oral period, since the young trees do not block much sunlight. Point number two, the Gemara says that Yoru Tok Sada Chavero, Venata Shalobarashus, if one went down into his fellow's field and planted trees without the owner's permission, Rav says, Shamilu v'yado al-tachtona. They assess his expenses and the improvements value, and he has the lower hand, meaning he's paid the lower of the two amounts. Shmuel says, Omnin kama adam rotzalitem v'sada zolunota. They assess how much a person would want to pay for someone to plant trees in this field, and he pays that amount. Rapapa clarifies that there is no argument. Shmuel is discussing a sada hasui lita, a field which is suitable for planting trees more than grain, and Rav is discussing sada she'ena sui lita, a field which is not suitable for planting trees more than grain. This opinion, Rav, was inferred from an incident in which a landowner told Rav that he did not want the trees which were planted in his field, and Rav replied that he should pay the lower amount of either the expenses or improvements since the field is more suitable for grain. The owner eventually fenced in the field and guarded it, and Rav told him that he revealed his satisfaction with the trees planted there and must pay the planter like a normal planter. And point number three, the next Mishnah teaches the laws governing evicting a tenant at the end of his lease. As the Gemara explains, the Mishnah's rulings are lehodia, to notify a tenant that he'll be evicted. Thus, the Mishnah states that one cannot evict a tenant whose term ends in the winter, when it's difficult to find other housing, unless he notifies him 30 days before the winter season, meaning before Sukkot. In large cities, where it's especially difficult to find housing, he must notify him a full 12 months before his term ends that he'll be evicted. A braisa supports this reading and adds that a tenant must also notify his landlord that he plans to leave at the lease's end so that he may find a suitable replacement. If the landlord's house fell, he may tell the tenant, Lo divas minai, you're no better than I, and he must leave at the end of his term even without prior notice, since the landlord didn't know his house would fall and must himself find housing. If he sold, bequeathed, or gifted the rented house to another, the tenant has the same entitlement to notice before eviction from the new owner. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah taught that if olive trees were swept by a river onto someone else's field and produced olives there, the olives are divided between the tree's owner and the field's owner. Ravin quoted Reish Lakish saying that they're only divided if the trees were uprooted with their clods of soil, thus maintaining their status as having passed the oral prohibition period and only during the first 3 years. After the first 3 years, however, Hakol Bahakarka, all the olives belong to the landowner because he can tell the owner of the trees if I had planted my own trees 3 years earlier. Would I not be eating all the produce after 3 years when the oral prohibition passes? The Gemara asks that the tree's owner could argue that if he had planted trees earlier, he would have nothing during the oral period of the first 3 years. Since he enjoyed half the produce then, he should continue to divide it now. It answers that the landowner can respond that if he had planted young trees, he could have planted and eaten vegetables during the oral period, since the young trees do not block much sunlight. Point number two, the Gemara says that Yoru Tok Sada Chavero, Venata Shaloburashus, if one went down into his fellow's field and planted trees without the owner's permission, Rav says, Shamilu v'yado al-tachtona. They assess his expenses and the improvements value, and he has the lower hand, meaning he's paid the lower of the two amounts. Shmuel says, Omnin kama adam rotzalitem v'sada zolunota. They assess how much a person would want to pay for someone to plant trees in this field, and he pays that amount. Rapapa clarifies that there is no argument. Shmuel is discussing a sada hasui lita, a field which is suitable for planting trees more than grain, and Rav is discussing sada she'ena sui lita, a field which is not suitable for planting trees more than grain. This opinion, Rav, was inferred from an incident in which a landowner told Rav that he did not want the trees which were planted in his field, and Rav replied that he should pay the lower amount of either the expenses or improvements since the field is more suitable for grain. The owner eventually fenced in the field and guarded it, and Ruff told him that he revealed his satisfaction with the trees planted there and must pay the planter like a normal planter. And point number three, the next Mishnah teaches the laws governing evicting a tenant at the end of his lease. As the Gemara explains, the Mishnah's rulings are l'hodia, to notify a tenant that he'll be evicted. Thus, the Mishnah states that one cannot evict a tenant whose term ends in the winter, when it's difficult to find other housing, unless he notifies him 30 days before the winter season, meaning before Sukkot. In large cities, where it's especially difficult to find housing, he must notify him a full 12 months before his term ends that he'll be evicted. A brisa supports this reading and adds that a tenant must also notify his landlord that he plans to leave at the lease's end so that he may find a suitable replacement. If the landlord's house fell, he may tell the tenant, "Lo divas minai, you're no better than I," and he must leave at the end of his term even without prior notice, since the landlord didn't know his house would fall and must himself find housing. If he sold, bequeathed, or gifted the rented house to another, the tenant has the same entitlement to notice before eviction from the new owner. All right, so now we got our Simmer Daf Kuf Aleph, and this Simmer was suggested to us by Kobe Melk, and he suggested that Kuf Aleph is a bird caller going caw, caw. So here goes. The bird caller who snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare Kuf Aleph bird, expecting to be paid, was startled when his landlord used a bird whistle to notify him 30 days before Sukkot that he was being evicted from his home where he sold bird whistles when his rental term ends in the winter. Once again, it's a motion. The bird caller, that must be more in Duff, Kuf Aleph. Caw, caw. The bird caller who snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if olive trees were swept by a river into someone else's field and produced olives there, the olives are divided between the tree's owner and the field's owner. Ravin quoted Reish Lakish saying that they're only divided if the trees were uprooted with their clods of soil, thus maintaining their status of having passed the oral prohibition period and only during the first 3 years. After the first 3 years, however, all the olives belong to the landowner because he can tell the owner of the trees, if I had planted my own trees 3 years earlier, would I not be eating all the produce after 3 years when the oral prohibition passes? So the bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare Kuf Aleph bird, expecting to be paid. Which reminds us, the Gemara says that Yordo Toch Sadeh Chavero, V'Nat Shabur Rishus, if one went down into his fellow's field and planted trees without the owner's permission, Rav says they assess his expenses and the improvement's value, and he has the lower hand, meaning he's paid the lower of the two amounts. Shmuel says they assess how much a person would want to pay for someone to plant trees in this field, and he pays that amount. Rapapa clarifies that there's no argument. Shmuel is discussing a field which is suitable for planting trees more than grain, and Rav is discussing a field which is not suitable for planting trees more than grain. So the bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare Kuf Aleph bird, expecting to be paid, was startled when his landlord used a bird whistle to notify him 30 days before Sukkot that he was being evicted from his home where he sold bird whistles when his rental term ends in the winter, which reminds us the next Mishnah teaches the laws governing evicting a tenant at the end of his lease. As the Gemara explains, the Mishnah's rulings are l'hodia, to notify a tenant that he'll be evicted. Thus, the Mishnah states that one cannot evict a tenant whose term ends in the winter when it's difficult to find other housing unless he notifies him 30 days before the winter season, meaning before Sukkot. In large cities where it's especially difficult to find housing, he must notify him a full 12 months before his term ends that he'll be evicted. So once again, the bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare Kuf Aleph bird, expecting to be paid, was startled when his landlord used a bird whistle to notify him 30 days before Sukkot that he was being evicted from his home where he sold bird whistles when his rental term ends in the winter. All right, so now it's time for four blah back Chazar. Daf Tzadizayin, so the Simmer Daf Tzadizayin is chess. So here goes. The chess player, that must be one Dov Tzadizayin, chess. The chess player who lost the game when his borrowed cat piece was killed by his opponent's many mice pieces, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that a man once borrowed a cat to eliminate mice. However, the mice banded together and killed the cat. Ravashi asks, Ki mesa machmas malachi dami olo, is it like an animal which died because of its work or not? Tosos explains that perhaps he should not have placed the cat among such a large group of mice. So the chess player who lost the game on his bold cat piece was killed by his opponent's many mice pieces, and then his half-bold, half-frantic cat piece died on the time it was borrowed space, which reminds us, the next mission discusses one who borrowed a cow for half the day and rented it for the other half, or borrowed it for one day and rented it for the next day, or rented one cow and borrowed another, and the cow died. The owner says in the respective cases, the borrowed cow died in the final case, or it died on the day it was borrowed in the middle case, or it died while it was borrowed in the first case, claiming the borrower or the renter should be liable. And he responds, "Ini yodea, I do not know, he's chayef to pay." So the chess player who lost the game when his borrowed cat piece was killed by his opponent's many mice pieces, and then his half-borrowed, half-rented cat piece died on the time it was borrowed space, was told by his opponent, who was Bari, Yomi Amana, and he responded, "Shema, I do not know," which reminds us, the Mishnah's first ruling requires the defendant to pay when the owner claims the cow died while borrowed, and the defendant says he doesn't know. This apparently proves that if one says to another, "Manli biyadcha, you owe me a mana," Omer eini yodea, and the other says, "I do not know," Chayev, he's liable to pay. Now, this case is a Machlokes Amoraim, where Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say the defendant is chayev since the claimant is certain, Bari, and the defendant is uncertain, Shema, and Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan say he's patur because the uncertainty defense is not sufficient proof to require payment. Daf Tzadiches. So the Siman Daf Tzadiches relates to Tzchok, and we use a clown. So here goes. The clown, that must be more Daf Tzadiches, Tzchok. The clown doing the hilarious two borrowed, one rented cow act, admitting that one borrowed cow died but wasn't sure about the other dead one, which reminds us, in the final case in the mission, the owner claims he gave two cows as a loan and one as a rental, and both borrowed cows died. The defendant admits that one borrowed cow died but is uncertain which of the other two died. In all the cases, the defendant must swear, and since he cannot, he must pay. So the clown doing the hilarious two borrowed, one rented cow act, admitting that one borrowed cow died, but wasn't sure about the other dead one, while his partner who rented a cow after borrowing it with the owner servicing him tried to claim Bala Vimo still applies, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba Bar Mama asked, Sha'ala Babalim, if one borrowed an animal with the owner servicing him, and then rented it from him without the owner servicing him, when the rental began, does the Bala Vimo exemption apply during the rental period? Do we consider the two periods of Shemira as separate transactions, and he would thus be liable for Gneva Vaveda for the rental? Or do we say rental is connected to borrowing since the liabilities of the rental, Gneva Vaveda, were already present at the time of the loan? Thus, we may view the rental as a continuation of the original loan transaction, which was made with Bala Vimo. So the clown doing the hilarious two borrowed, one rented cow act, admitting that one borrowed cow died, but wasn't sure about the other dead one, while his partner who rented a cow after borrowing it with the owner servicing him had tried to claim Bala Vimo still applies, concluded the show right after a clown dressed as an owner's shaliach announced the borrowed cow he was delivering had died in transit, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if someone was borrowing a cow, and the owner sent it to him with his son, a slave, or a shaliach, or with the borrower's son, slave, or shaliach, the borrower is pater until he receives it. Daf Tzadites, so the similar Daf Tzadites is a cheetah, so here goes. The cheetah, that must be more on Daf Tzadites. The cheetah owner's Evakanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if the owner sent a cow with his own slave at the borrower's request, the borrower is immediately liable. Rav says the Mishnah can refer to an Evakanani, but the case is, as the Gemara concludes, where the borrower said, strike it with a stick and will come to me. Rav ruled about such a case, as soon as it left the lender's domain and died, the borrower is liable. So the cheetah owner's Evakanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, just as the one who lent him a hatchet to protect himself asked for it back before he could use it, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas if a borrower acquires the item with usage or mashicha, such as in the case of one who borrowed a hatchet and the owner wants to retract. So the cheetah owner's Evakanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, just as the one who had lent him a hatchet to protect himself asked for it back before he could use it, knows the cheetah had its eyes on a thief who stole a cake of pressed dates, which contained 50 dates, and was selling it for 49 prutos, which reminds us, Shmuel said that if one stole a cake of pressed dates, which contains 50 dates, which are sold together for 49 prutos, but can be sold individually for a pruta each, totaling 50. Then if the cake belonged to an ordinary person, he pays 49. But if it belonged to Agatha, she pays 50 plus the additional surcharge of a fifth. The Gemara explains that although the private owner can claim he would have sold the dates individually, so his loss is 50 prutos, a Mishnah teaches that damages of crops are assessed not based on their own value, but in the broader context of the field's selling value. Thus, damages to a private individual, as well as theft, which is a form of damage, are assessed leniently. Dav Kuf, so the Siman Dav Kuf is a kof, a monkey. So here goes. When the man exchanged a cow for a monkey, that must be on Dav Kuf, kof, monkey. When the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, if one exchanges a cow for a donkey and the cow gave birth, or if one sells a shivcha and she gave birth, and the seller says the birth occurred before I sold her, and the offspring is mine, and the buyer says the birth occurred after I purchased her, and the offspring is mine, yalchaloku, they divide the value of the calf or slave child. The Gemara concludes the Tana Sumkas who holds, mamana mutal basafik chokim below shavua, money whose ownership is in doubt, is divided without a shavua. So, when the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, which reminds us, the Mishnah say that if the seller had two slaves or two fields of different sizes, and the buyer claims to have purchased the larger one, and the seller claims he sold the smaller one, the seller swears that he sold the smaller one. The Gemara raises three objections to the seller taking an oath and provides three answers. So when the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, and then swung on the branches of an olive tree which was sold for its wood, which yielded more than a ravias of oil, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one sold his olive trees for their wood, and the buyer did not remove them immediately, and they produced olives of such poor quality that a saw of them yielded less than a ravias of oil, they belong to the owner of the trees. If they produced olives which yielded more than ravias, and the buyer says, my olive trees produce the olives, and they're mine, and the seller says, my land produced the olives by providing nutrients, yalchaloku, they divide the crop since they were both instrumental in producing the crop. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which deftu and Rav Hamnuna holds Balavimo must be in the same work and until the mishap, but he's refuted, that's on duff. Tzadihei. Good number two. Which deftu discuss the case of one exchanges a cow for a donkey and the cow gave birth and the parties dispute when the cow gave birth? That's on duff. Kuf. Good number three. Which deftu discuss borrowing for unusual purposes, such as borrowing a cow to appear wealthy so people extend him credit? That's on duff. Tzadivav. Good number four. Which deftu discuss if someone planted a tree in someone else's field without rishus, whether he can be paid in full? That's on duff. Kufalov. Good number five. Which deftu discuss whether Balavimo applies with a shaliach or an evid? That's on duff. Tzadivav. Good number six. Which deftu discuss rules of evicting a tenant at the end of his lease and the need to give 30 days notice before the winter for someone whose term ends in the winter? That's on duff. Kufalov. Good number seven. Which deftu melchok is if a borrower acquires an item such as a hatchet with usage or mashicha? That's on duff. Study test. Good number eight. Which deftu a case where one borrowed two cows and rented one and admits that one borrowed cow died, but he's not sure the status of the second dead one? That's on duff. Study test. Good number nine. Which deftu the case of olive trees being swept away by a river and being planted in someone else's field and the question of who gets the olives? That's on duff. Kufal. Good. Number 10. Which deftu do you discuss if one sold his olive trees for their wood and the buyer did not remove them immediately and then they produced olives, who gets the oil? That's on duff. Kuf. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhoff from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.